Chapter 17 and verse number 23. Verse number 23. Good to see everybody in the house of God tonight. The Bible says in verse 23, and as he talked with them, talking about David, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And then the Bible says, Eliab, I ain't pronounced that. I got it written down somewhere. Amen. But anyhow, he said this. His eldest brother, when he heard or when he spake, he said this. His anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Oh, I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. I want to talk tonight on this thought, responding to criticism. Responding to criticism. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd help us to grab a hold of these truths that you will give to us from the word of God. I pray, God, first of all, if there's anything between you and I that would hinder you from using my vessel, I beg you, Father, and plead with you to forgive me and to cleanse me, to wash me, and to use me for your honor and for your glory. I pray, God, you guide my speech and my mindset and my thoughts. I pray, God, you bring back things to my remembrance that I might bring forth to those who are hearing, those who are listening, those who are watching, and that God will thank you. And I pray, God, that each of us realize there is a proper way and an improper way to respond to criticism. But I pray, God, we respond as they responded and then win the victory. I pray, God, if there's any other need tonight, that should meet that need as well. For through your son's name we pray, not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. The Bible talks here about some criticism that David is receiving from his eldest brother. That word criticism here that we're referring to is a noun. It means this: the act of passing judgment as to the merits of anything. The act of passing judgment, okay, or the motives of a person or anything. And a lot of times, and I'm not talking about the word, when we use the word critic in the sense of the positive, but critic in the sense of the negative. Criticism. That which is trying to determine the motive of some person. And a lot of times, my dear friends, we face this type of criticism from others who cannot see the inside of their own heart, amen, let alone the heart of somebody else's. But yet that criticism will ring forth, as we will see with David's eldest brother, who is criticizing him for his motives from being there in the first place. Now, the first thing we see is their depleted courage. Their depleted courage. The Bible says in verse 23, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath. Goliath comes up. And Goliath goes to that same spiel about whoever y'all send down here, I'll fight with them. And whoever wins, if I win, y'all going to be our servants. If it goes the other way, then we'll flip the script. But we also know this. He wasn't telling the truth because we know what happened to him. He did die. Amen. But nonetheless, they still had to deal with, contend with the Philistines. But what happens here was he comes and he makes his proclamation. The Bible says in verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, the Bible says they fled from him and were sore afraid. And I said here, this is depleted courage. Why? Because it seemed like they had courage beforehand. If you go back to verse 2, the Bible says, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah. And the Bible says, and they set the battle in array. They arranged the battle against the Philistines. In other words, the whole army got together and they were ready to fight. And a lot of times we are ready to face the enemy. We've got courage to face the enemy, but then something happens. And it causes our courage to be depleted and become fear instead. As you look in verse number 24, the Bible says that they fled, they ran. And then the Bible says that they were sore afraid. To be sore afraid means not just to be afraid, but exceedingly afraid. That means it wasn't just a little fear. I mean, they had a whole bunch of fear. And when it becomes like that, man, we in trouble. Yeah. And the enemy will huff and puff and say all kinds of things to cause you and I to lose courage and to have exceeding fear to take its place. But then we move and we see their depleted courage to what we want to focus a little bit at is David's concern. The Bible says in verse number 23 that David heard all this. He listened intelligently to all that Goliath had to say and became concerned. And the Bible says this, the first thing that concerns him was this, I like this, was his reward or the reward. The Bible says in verse 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Now, I don't know if y'all caught that or not. He didn't say what would happen if they killed the giant. He said, look at it again. The Bible says here in this verse, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? That's confidence, baby.
Yeah.
He had confidence that that giant was going to be slain. And he was, though, what do you get? What's the reward for taking him down? By the way, my dear friends, as Christians, the Bible teaches us that we have all types of rewards that we get for all types of service that we are performed for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But now, of course, that's not our main motivation. But at the same time, God does give us rewards. Matter of fact, the reward for receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and that you escape the penalty of sin, which is eternal death, eternal separation from God from forever.
Amen.
Another reward that you get is this, my friends. You have the reward from the power of sin in our life. We don't have to. And then one day, my dear friends, we will receive this. I like this part. We receive, my dear friends, not only the power from sin, but also the presence of sin itself. We don't have to see it anymore. Those are some of just a few of the rewards. And they said, what do you get for taking down the giant? Because you know what? This giant is bringing reproach against Israel. The word reproach means disgrace, shame, taunt. What will happen to the man that takes him down? This one who is taunting Israel. This one who is bringing disgrace to God's people. By the way, I believe that God's still calling men and women to rise up and say, you know what? Let's encourage the saints of God to get up and go forward instead of laying down and letting the enemy just trample all over us. I wonder who is he tapping on? Who is he nudging? Say, listen, I need somebody to lead the charge. Because here was the people of God filled with fear, filled with anxiety. But yet here's David saying, what's the reward? But not only that, my dear friends, David says, you know what? Not only the reward, but the respect that God deserves. The Bible says this in verse 26. What shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That he should defy the armies, not of a dead God, but the armies of the living God. This is God Almighty who is not dead, but he's alive. He don't even have a cold. He ain't even sick. He's a living God. He says, who defies the armies of a living God? David says, somebody needs to do something. Because this don't look right. This ain't right. God is a God of power. He is omniscient. He's all knowing. But he's also omnipotent. He is all powerful. He knows all, but he has all power. There's nothing that God is not able to do, my dear friends. Does not have the power and the ability to do. He says oftentimes the problem that you don't have is you have not because you what? You ask not. But then he says you do ask, you don't have either because you ask in amiss. That you might consume upon your own lust. Matter of fact, let's look at that verse. Look at James chapter number 4, I believe it is. Look at James chapter number 4. Look what it says here about asking. And James, I believe it's in chapter number 4. Look at James 4 and drop down the verse number 2. James 4 and verse number 2. I like when God gives us promises. I like when God says, hey, here's something I want to give you to encourage you. He says in verse 2 of James chapter 4, the Bible says this, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have. Guess what? You can't obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not. You know why? Because you ask not. Oh, these are, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. The word amiss means evilly, badly. That means grievously, he says here. He says, you ask and receive not because you're asking amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. So in other words, if you're talking about, I want somebody else's husband, somebody else's wife, no, that's called amiss. It's called evilly, okay? It's at work, okay? Okay? It's not to fulfill your own lust. Well, I want this car so I can ride around and show it off, you know? See, that's asking for the wrong reasons. That's why I got to make sure, my dear friends, that our reason and our motivation is lined up with the precious word of God. But now watch this, flipping back over to the 1 Samuel. We see David's concern, the reward, and the respect for God. And then we get to the heart of the message, which is David's critic. David's critic. Anytime you and I decide to do something for God, you might as well mark it down. There's going to be some criticism. And you think there's not going to be any criticism, then you are sadly mistaken. There's going to be some type of criticism. It's just going to happen. And sometimes it's not because they have wrong intentions. Somebody have right intentions, but it's wrong, amen? Because they don't know the motives of your heart. So we see, first of all, David's critic. Who was David's critic? Go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 17, and we see what the Bible says. Who was his critic? The Bible tells us Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And guess what? He was angry. It was kindled against the giant. I'm sorry. Against David. This is his eldest brother, big brother. They had 8 brothers and I believe 2 sisters. And here's the oldest brother. David's the youngest brother. So there's at least an 8-year or more gap, probably more gap, amen, between them. But yet the eldest brother is the one who's going to be the chief critic here in this situation. But why would we stand amazed? The Bible tells us something about our family. Look, the Bible says in Matthew, hold your place here. Look at Matthew 10 and verse number 36. Matthew 10 and verse number 36. Sometimes the greatest critic, the greatest criticism that you and I will receive will be received from those who we share the same DNA with.
What?
Yeah. Look at Matthew 10 and verse 36. The Bible says that Jesus said, he says, and a man's foes shall be they of somebody else's household. Oh, I'm sorry. Of his own household. His own familia. Amen. His own family. The word foe here means adversary. It means actively hostile. Wow. And when you read the context, he's telling you how when Christ comes in your life, my friends, a lot of times it will bring opposition from your family. The Bible tells us this. And oftentimes when you are perhaps you're involved in drugs or alcohol or wild living and everybody says, you need to go to church. You need to go to church. And then you go. And you get help. And now you start changing. And they say, well, you ain't got to do all that. I mean, we having a family barbecue at 11 a.m. I don't see why y'all came on Sunday. I don't see why you can't miss one day of church. Well, now let me ask you something. If I miss one day of church, we'll at least be missing more days of church. Then I get out of church and I start doing those things that you were praying or encouraging me not to do anymore. What do you think is the best thing I should do here? Well, I'm just saying, you can't be. Wait a minute, wait a minute. First you encouraged me to go, and now you're saying you're going too much. Every time I look around, you're at the church. Wait a minute. It's probably only 2 days a week, which is probably Sunday and whatever the midweek service would be on. So how is that? I mean, at least other five other days. So what are you saying? I mean, really? We had a revival. Oh, we don't have a revival 52 weeks out the year. You know what I'm saying? But all of a sudden, my friends, the criticism from family. But not only family. But the Bible talks about friends. Look what the Bible says over in Psalm 41 and verse 9. Psalm 41 and look at verse number 9. How do we respond to criticism? Well, we're going to find out in a few moments. But look what the Bible says here in Psalm 41 and verse number 9. 41 verse 9. This is your homeboy. This is your dog. This is what the Bible says here. Psalm 41 verse number 9. The Bible says, yeah. Mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread. What's happened? Have lifted up his heel against me. My ace, boom, boom, dog, whatever. I mean, wait a minute. We done hung out together. We done ate together. Man, we done cried together. We done wept together. And now what's I trusted you. And now what's happened? You've turned your heel against me. Your footprint's on my back. It's amazing how those who are the closest to us sometimes will turn against us. Sometimes knowingly and sometimes unknowingly. Let's look at David's big brother. And let's see how he responds. The first thing we see about David's oldest brother is the influence behind the criticism. Anytime there's, I'm not talking about constructive criticism, anytime there's negative criticism, there's something, my dear friends, that's influencing this. Well, what was it with his brother? Look what the Bible says back in verse 28 of 1 Samuel 17. The Bible says that anger was kindled against David. That word anger here also means the nostrils. So you know what happened there? His nose is. Man, he fired up. And that word kindle here means to be hot, to be furious, to glow. He was on fire, baby. Fire. It wasn't Holy Ghost fire either. Man, he was ticked off. And that is what influenced him. The Bible says anger was kindled against David, his baby brother. And the Bible says, and he says, why camest thou down hither? We now see the inquiry. Why are you even here? What are you doing here? But like most people, he'll give Dave time to respond. You ever had somebody ask you a question and then keep on asking the other question? Can I get the question back to number one? We down to number 10 right now. Can I go back to question number one? He is, why are you even here? He is inquiring about the reason why he's here. His motive for being here, but if you let him answer, he could have easily told them, Daddy sent me. I was minding my own business down there taking care of the sheep. And our daddy came, our father came and said, hey, go and see how your brother's doing. Take some food with them. And hey, I want you to check things out and let me know what's up. That's why I'm here. We didn't even talk about preacher. I wonder how many times has your heavenly father called you to go somewhere and see how somebody was doing, another brother or sister, to inquire what's happening with them, what's going on with them. And they question your motive for coming. Why are you here? What are you doing here? Why are you calling me? What's this all? What are you up to? Let me answer first. Before he can even answer, we see his insinuation. The Bible says, why camest down hither, verse 28, and with whom has thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? You know what he's insinuating? That Dave is irresponsible. Who's watching them sheep? You down here, who's back there doing the job you're supposed to be doing? God called you to a task. He gave you an assignment. Number one, what you gonna do about this? Well, who's gonna take care of that? Man, listen, here's a hot one right here. God called you in a full-time service. So I want you to come full-time. Full-time means full-time. And you're like, what are you saying? Lord, I want you to give up your job. That's what happened with me. My first question was, Lord, who's going to take care of us? I'm not trusting no people. People do this to you. People do that to you. And folks start looking at you. I don't forget when I use Billy as an example, Billy Sampson, when he decided to go on the road, man, it was rough, man. I mean, there were folks that were accusing him of things and insinuations and all this kind of, you've always wanted to do this and be on the road and blah, 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 blah. I didn't sit with the boy. I didn't, as his pastor, I didn't wept with him as he tried to make a decision on what God's calling him to do, my friends. And when that's something, he just jumps, hey, I'm just going to do this. Then, folks, you're going to starve to death. That boy needs to lose weight, okay? He'll tell you that himself, amen. But you know what? All of a sudden, folks, you're irresponsible. What about this? Well, if you let him answer, he would have told him, hey, I got some guys taking care of the sheep back at the house. When we saw that last Sunday. But he didn't let him respond. He's just going off. But not only that, then we see the intentional belittlement. Intentional belittlement. What does he say? He says, who's watching them what? Few sheep. Yeah, there's a little bit of a group you got together there. They ain't have no big significance. Well, they're so little, why are you concerned about it? And notice he's saying this in front of everybody. Since now people try to cut you down in front of your peers or those who are watching. Who take care of them few sheep? It's a few of them. Oh, that's what happens when you start getting criticized. And then this is one that gets me, though. We see the inward motive determined by his oldest brother. The inward motive determined. The Bible says, his oldest brother says this, I know. Verse 28. I know thy pride. Oh, not only I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down and thou mightest see the battle. First of all, he says to him, I know your pride, your arrogance. And sometimes when people are accusing other people of things, it's because that's their problem. I mean, once. I mean, it's amazing. And he's saying to David, you got a pride issue. Wait a minute, are you sure, big bro? Does this have anything to do with Samuel coming down to the house? And looking for somebody to anoint, he passed over you and the next brother. And then he asked, is there anybody else here? And he said, well, there's a little Dave right there with the sheep. And then it ain't got nothing to do with that, does it? Because think about it now. When you're the oldest, sometimes, no, don't y'all get mad at me around here. When you're the oldest, sometimes you think you're supposed to be in charge of everything. I got here first. Before you even thought about, I was here. I went through the rough time, the trenches. I got the brunt of everything. You come around now, mom and dad chilling. It is hard, it is rough. Ain't none of my kids here tonight, but Isaiah. If they was here, they'd be having a fit. But nonetheless, though. But all of a sudden, because you're the oldest, okay, let's break it down, baby. Let's go where you work at. I got more seniority than anybody here. How they going to just pass over me? Well, what's your job record? What you talking about? I'm just asking. I ain't said. I'm just saying. Are you a good worker? I mean, are you motivated? Do you go beyond the initiative? I mean, how are you? I mean, do they have to find you all the time? And they can't remember where you at? And I'm just asking some questions here. Oh, my friends, it's amazing. Now he says, it's your pride, though, David. You got a pride issue. All right. And not only you got a pride issue, then he tells David this. He says, I know thy pride. He know about stuff, don't he? And I know the naughtiness of thine heart. That word naughtiness means wickedness, evilness. This brother here is bad to the bone. What do you mean? He can see inside of people. He had x-ray vision, man. He says, I can see your heart. That word heart here, my dear friends, it means the inner man, the will, the mind, the emotions. He says, I can see it. It's naughtiness, it's evil, it's wicked, it's bad. Bruh, you are telling on yourself what you're doing. You've been telling everybody that's listening here, I mean, that you got pride, that you've got a naughty heart, amen. That's what you're really saying, bruh. And he goes on to say this, my dear friends. He said, listen, and you are come down that thou mightest see the battle. You want to be a spectator. You want to watch. You just want to look. That's all you come out here for. Ain't it amazing? Then when people criticize you, they go off without any evidence. He had no evidence whatsoever that these things were true, but he spoke as if they were true. And it's unfortunate and it's sad that we see that runs throughout Christianity among brothers and sisters in Christ who are attacking one another left and right, saying, I know your motive. This is why you're doing this. This is what's going on right here. And they'll come at you vehemently. I'm talking about they won't hold back nothing and just come out full force. Like, how you know this stuff? Man, you're good. It's amazing. But in all this criticism that David receives, we then see David's, and I call this David's courageous reaction. Courageous reaction. The Bible says in verse number 29, and David says, what have I now done? Now, he could have been saying that because this is something that he was often maybe accused of from his brother. You know, picking on up something I still do sometimes. What have I now done? What I do? But notice what it says. Is there not a cause? Is it not a reason? Is this not happening for a purpose? There's something behind all this? And then, why call this courageous reaction? He has to address all the other stuff. Well, let me tell you, I ain't got no pride issue. He didn't address none of that stuff. David did this. The Bible says David did this. Verse 30. He turned. The word turn here means to revolve. He turned, he revolved, and the Bible says from him toward another. And the Bible says, and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. In other words, come for a minute, Brett. Eliab is going off. Eliab is saying this. Eliab is saying that. And David does this. Like I was saying. What's going on here? What's happening? And they begin to tell him the whole thing all over again. But so often we sit there and go, well, listen, let me tell you something, Eli. This is what's going on. And you know, I don't know what your problem is with me. I mean, you know, you're my big brother. But I mean, you act like you're... And you spend all that time over here. And there's a job to be done over there. But all he does is he Bible says he turns, he revolves this way. Said, now, what was going on? What was being said? And guess what? Eliab was just standing there. Just standing there. Thank you, brother. A lot of times, friends, we spend more time trying to defend our position, defend ourselves, instead of having the courage to react like David. And say, so you know what? I'm going to let God handle that. I've got a task that I'm assigned to do, that I've got to do over here. I've got something over here that needs to be taken care of, that needs to be addressed. Because sometimes, my dear friend, that's what the enemy's whole motivation is. I'm not talking about Eliab. I'm talking about the one who's behind it all. The one who's pulling the strings. Who's trying to get us off course. Who's trying to get us to focus on this instead of focusing on the task that's at hand. When you begin to read, and I didn't have time to get all the verses I wanted to get, but when you look at Paul's life, at different times, people were accusing Paul of certain things, for have certain motives for what he was doing. But one thing Paul did say was this over in Acts. He says, none of these things move me. Neither count my life dear unto myself. Now, I know that's referring to the things that were going to take place in his life. They were saying that he's going to be in bonds and being in prison. But guess what? Those things did not distract him, detour him from a task that he was assigned. And my friends, we need to get to a place like that. So you know what? I'm not going to let that hinder me. I'm not going to let that stop me, that critic, that criticism, those attacks, attacking my motive, attacking my character, attacking me left and right. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to even try to address that. I'm going to focus on what God has in store for me. And because of that, we see the people of Israel are going to be delivered. But I wonder who could be receiving deliverance in our sphere, or in our realm, or who we touch. I wonder who could be receiving deliverance if we were to focus on the task that God has given us instead of those who are critics that are criticizing us. When I think about C.T. Townsend and the criticism that he's been getting from so many different preachers, and then, of course, there's a whole lot that support him, too, of course. But, you know, the critics seem to stand out. Their voice seems to stand out louder sometimes, and even though you do some research on them, you find out, y'all ain't doing nothing. But anyhow, but he's been attacked left and right. And I'm like, what's up, dog? What's up? Another brother, you coming at like this? What is your real motive? Why are you saying what you're saying? When people are getting saved, people are being called to preach, lives are being changed. Why in the world would somebody else, especially that holds the same banner of being an independent Baptist, would attack somebody else that got the same banner up? And we shouldn't be attacking any other Christian for that matter. But what I'm saying, though, is this. When somebody is, you know, going the same direction that you're going, to attack them and their motives, and you know this, you got this. You got that kind of x-ray vision. You're awesome. You are awesome. No, in reality, it's called being deceived. Eliab was deceived, thinking that this is why David was here. David was there in the first place because his father had sent him. Think about what I'm saying. What has your father sent you to do, but yet you're being criticized for doing it? Whether you're parenting, whether you're serving in some other capacity for the Lord, but yet you're being criticized. That's what was happening with David. But David speaks, he ignores, and then he continues going forward. I got one question, we're done. How are we responding to our critics? How are we responding to wrong criticism? How are we responding? Our response will determine, really, the next step or the next phase in what the Lord has in store for us. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I tried my best to get out the words you gave to me tonight. I do pray, God, that it was presented in such a manner that it was easily absorbed. I do pray and ask God that we would not only hear it, but God, ask you for help in certain areas that you spoke to our hearts about. And for that, God, we'll thank you. I pray, God, that this moment, as we've heard songs, sermons, and we've prayed, that some folks will come and pray, God, and talk to you about some issues in their heart that's on their mind. Maybe they've been attacked by the enemy, attacked by loved ones, by those who've been closest to them, Father. And they know themselves, that's not my motivation for what's happened here. Perhaps they want to ask you for extra strength, extra courage, extra faith. I pray, God, they talk to you tonight. And then perhaps, God, there's some folks who need to come for other reasons. They have nothing to do with the message, but they need to come and talk to you for a few moments. I pray, God, they will come. But, God, whatever the case might be, help us, Lord, not to stay away from you, but, God, help us to draw near to you. That's it, Father. For it's your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's all.